Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue with our year-long journey reading the diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from beginning to end. Today we take up from where we left off, beginning with diary entry number 1110. April 1937. The Lord gave me to know about the disputes that were going on in the Vatican concerning this feast. The dignitary Pacelli did much work on this. Today is the renewal, that is, the profession of vows, in the course of a solemn celebration. As the sisters were making their vows, I heard angels singing in various tones, "Holy, holy, holy," with chanting so delightful that no human tongue could ever match it. In the afternoon, I talked with my beloved Mother Directress of Novices, Mother Mary Joseph. We walked once around the garden, and I was able to have a talk with her, although it was a rather general one. She is ever the same beloved Mother Directress of Novices, although she is in fact no longer the Directress, but a Superior, and it is already 10 years since I pronounced my vows. She told me that it is impossible for a religious to live without the cross. However, she revealed to me a certain suffering which I had experienced in Warsaw, although I had never told her about it. All the graces which I had received during the novitiate came back vividly before the eyes of my soul. Oh, how grateful I am to her! When my soul was plunged in darkness, and it seemed to me that I was damned, she wrenched me from that abyss by the power of obedience. My soul is often burdened with suffering, and there is no human being who can understand these torments. May 1st, 1937. Today I felt the nearness of my mother, my heavenly mother, although before every Holy Communion, I earnestly ask the Mother of God to help me prepare my soul for the coming of her Son, and I clearly feel her protection over me. I entreat her to be so gracious as to enkindle in me the fire of God's love, such as burned in her own pure heart at the time of the incarnation of the Word of God. May 4th. Today I went to see Mother General, Michael, for a moment and asked her, "Dear Mother, have you had any inspiration regarding my leaving the convent?" Mother General answered, "Until the present, sister, I have always restrained you, but now I leave you complete freedom to choose to do as you wish. You can leave the congregation, or you can stay." So I answered, "Very well." I thought of writing immediately to the Holy Father to ask him to release me from my vows. When I had left Mother General, darkness once again descended upon my soul, as it had in the past. It is strange that, each time I ask permission to leave the congregation, this darkness invades my soul, and I feel as though I have been left completely on my own. While experiencing this torment of the spirit, I decided to go immediately to Mother and tell her about my strange torment and struggle. Mother answered, "That leaving of yours is a temptation." After talking to her for a while, I felt some relief, but the darkness persisted. This divine mercy is a beautiful thing, and it must be a great work of the Lord, since Satan opposes it so much and wants to destroy it." Such were the words of our beloved Mother General. No one can understand or comprehend, nor can I myself describe my torments, but there can be no sufferings greater than this. The sufferings of the martyrs are not greater, because at such times death would be a relief for me. There is nothing to which I can compare these sufferings, this endless agony of the soul. May 5th, 1937. Today I opened up my soul somewhat in confession, because it occurred to me that perhaps this is the real temptation, that at the time I asked to be allowed to leave the congregation, I experienced such great suffering and darkness. To this the confessor replied that Perhaps it was not the time appointed by God. You must pray and wait patiently, but it is true that great sufferings are in store for you. You will have to bear many sufferings and overcome many difficulties. That much is certain. It would be better to wait and to pray much for deeper knowledge and for divine light. These are grave matters. Saint Faustina received some insight in the discussions going on at the Vatican regarding the approval of Mercy Sunday and the message of the Divine Mercy. She mentions Cardinal Pacelli, who would go on to become Pope Saint Pius XII. He would be involved in these matters, but it would only take place many years after her death, the approval of all these matters. When the community renewed their vows, St. Faustina heard angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." It shows how heaven and earth are united during those special celebrations. And Faustina speaks with her former novice mistress, how she had insights into the sufferings that St. Faustina had to endure during her novitiate. Faustina continued to suffer, and only Jesus truly knows all that she had to endure. Saint Faustina asks Mary to help her to prepare her soul to receive Jesus at Holy Communion. And then Saint Faustina consults with her Mother General about leaving her community. Mother General gives her permission to do so, and Faustina immediately thinks of writing a letter to the Holy Father to ask to be released from her vows. But we note here that she doesn't immediately pray about it. She just gets assumes that it must be God's will that she leave immediately. So she immediately gets this thought to write. And it's probably not from God. We have to consult with God at every step of the way. It's true that God wants a new congregation to be founded, but in the right time. And she comes to discover this as she speaks to her confessor, who tells her it's probably not yet the right time. You must pray and wait upon the Lord. This is very important. Now, it seems that Jesus is not giving her enough light in this regard. She's struggling to do God's will, but it's an important lesson. At each moment and at each juncture, we have to ask God, "What are you asking me to do right now?"